New York City is where it started.
Globally is where we are.
Vashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store or listen online at VashaniRadio.com.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town, yeah.
It's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where we are the voice of the professional fan. Thank you for joining us. We're here every Sunday night at 8:30 p.m. We bring it to you fresh and we bring it to you hard. Here we go. All right. Every week, here we go. My co-host, Money Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm good. But, you know, I'm excited about today because we're going to have a full-blown
venting session.
Yeah, full blown venting session.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're gonna call it.
I think everybody.
It's gonna be an out of bounds.
A whole segment. And of course, my guy, Stat Pat. How you feeling, buddy?
Good, dude. But like, I'm with Mike right now. Like, it's we got to try to get some stuff out of our chest because, you know, as we are in the middle, or not even in the middle, I think we're like on the, like the other side of it now.
It's over.
We're on the downhill, guys.
So it's like, you know, kind of like not happy about that. But yeah,
So, of course, what we're talking about here is we're talking about the state of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay.
The state of Los Angeles Lakers are not great. And after the All-Star break, rumors came out in regards to LeBron James and Clutch Sports, and it's just not looking any better. Now, LeBron did go in his press conference and say that he wishes nobody would listen to Bill Orem, but he was kind of joking about that.
I don't understand that.
Well, because Bill Orem's the
one
who said.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he doesn't want people to believe Bill, but it is the truth.
I mean, wait a minute. Do we not believe him? Do we not? I mean, this dude literally, it's like you ask your kids how are your parents, and they talk about, oh, my friend Samantha, mom and dad are great. You know?
Yep.
Right? Like,
it's like omission by omission, right?
Right. So essentially, like you said that, dog.
If you didn't hear about it, essentially it was LeBron leading to the fact and already thinking about his playing days beyond the Lakers. And of course, Laker fans don't like that. They don't like to see that because you feel like he's already 1 foot out the door. He's already planning his escape. And when the Lakers are playing as bad as they are, it's not a good look. Now, Money Mike, you've always been at least honest in regards to your feelings with LeBron James and how you felt about him and his true Lakerness, or however we want to call it.
So, but the first thing we got to do is we got to get this update about Anthony Davis, about how he's not going to be there, and confirm that with Marco.
All right, let's bring him in. As usual, we start this show with Marco Nunez. Let's bring Marco on the board. How you doing, Marco?
How are you guys doing today, Marco?
Man, hey, glad to see you again. Just want to confirm that AD is out for the season. let's get this out the way.
Make it official. Yeah, I think that's something that we discussed last week about, you know, the pros and the cons as far as him either continuing the season, returning the season, or just kind of calling it quits and see what happens for the next season. At the end of the day, it was going to come down to is where the Lakers stand in the playoff hunt. If they're going to be in the play-in bracket, or they're either going to hopefully slide into the eighth spot or the seventh spot, or anything of that sort. I think that's going to be the big determining factor. It's going to be what they refer to as the point of no return, so to speak. There's going to be a point in the next couple of days or weeks as he's returning that it's going to be like, you know what, it's not worth for him to come back, and they're going to shut him down for the rest of the season. But it all depends on where the Lakers stand.
Yeah, but see, what the reports are, you know, that they reevaluate him, and they know it at least going to be 4 to 5 weeks. So, you know,
which pushes us up middle of April,
man. Right?
Which is already postseason,
pretty much. Yeah. Right? So it's not for the season. I mean, the thing about, like, you know, that's so. I guess, Marco, what we want to actually know, like, when we can do the simple math and count the weeks, and then get to the point where it's like basically the end of the season. Why can't we get a regular straight shooter kind of diagnosis saying that Anthony Davis is out for the season? Or, I mean, and I do understand where you're coming from, because I did hear what you were saying based upon standings and everything like that. However, how good is Anthony Davis even going to be if he comes back at that time? We saw this picture last year.
Perfect question. How long does it take to get back into game shape? We know it takes a while when you haven't played, but coming off of this injury, Marco, how long does it take?
Correct. So you're
a normal person, not Anthony Davis, because we know we're going to get hurt again anyway. So we're this is generalized to every other player.
Correct. So if we're looking at it, what he sprained his ankle, what, about a week ago or two, almost 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're looking minimum 4 weeks, minimum. And I'm talking about that. If everything goes according to plan, everything's great. He'll be back in 4 weeks. But like you said, even then, it's not going to be back 4 weeks. It's not going to be in game shape, so to speak. So you're looking anywhere between the 6 to 8 week mark. So you're looking about a 2 month process. So if you did it 2 weeks ago in February, there's 4 weeks in March. You got two in February, that's six, and you're looking 2 weeks into April, so you're looking at about the 8 week mark. So if everything goes according to plan, no setbacks, no issues whatsoever, there is a chance that he could potentially come back somewhere in April, maybe get a week of play, get his legs under him, and be ready for the play-in or for the playoffs. Now that's if everything goes according to plan. Now because there is that possibility, that's why they haven't officially ruled him out. Now let's say if he entered it this week. Odds are they probably would have ruled him out because he's within that 6 week mark. So there's a small chance, but it's very small.
Cool. So let's talk about somebody who will play, and we can talk about the playoffs because there's still going to be basketball going on. Kevin Durant, you know, he sprang his MCL. Mm-hmm. I think around the 15th of January, they're saying they're optimistic that they will have him back within a week or so. Progress is pretty good. A sprained MCL is not really that bad once it heals.
Correct.
He has no risk of tearing or anything like that.
Correct. So they're probably be a little more cautious. They want him getting back as healthy as possible and trying to make a playoff run. So you know they're more looking towards a playoff. So could he come back a little bit sooner? Possibly. But you know they're trying to get him as healthy as possible and more importantly reduce his risk of re-injury, either the MCL or more importantly re-injuring anything else. That's one of the issues that I think AD has had a couple this whole season is he injures the side. He comes back, and then he has referred to as a second injury from a compensatory pattern. He injures something else. Then he injures something else. So I think in this case, the Brooklyn Nets are kind of making sure, hey, you know what, we want Kevin KD to come back at close to 100% so we wouldn't have any issues so going into the rest of the season and going into the playoffs, more importantly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that sounds good because you know what? I'm kind of looking forward to the East Coast matchup because I'm telling you, man, that Harden – Embiid,
when they go against the Nets.
Yeah, I really want to see that full strength because KD kind of directed that trade just like our guy over here. So we'll figure out who's a better GM.
Right, is it KD or LeBron?
Yeah, who's a better player GM? Well,
if it's any indication of how he picks teams during the All-Star break.
Right.
Well, oh yeah. Oh, he's undefeated that way.
I mean,
yeah,
LeBron is,
but he has to pick the top 75. Like, if you don't have the top 75, anyway, we're gonna get it,
Marco. Marco, I have a quick question for you. Sure. And I'm not sure, you know, how much you know or don't know about this, but years past, I remember when Steve Nash was playing for the Suns, and the Suns got a lot of credit for their medical staff and keeping him playing and so forth. How different are athletic training medical staffs from team to team? Can it vary that great? I mean, I know obviously you have people like yourself who are skilled and someone else who maybe not as skilled, but I would think you have to at least be somewhere, you know, up above the cream of the crop to even get in there. So how much could it really vary from team to team? Aren't they all working with top of the line everything?
They are working with well, here's the thing about it is that every team completely varies as far as their staff, who they hire and whatnot. I think the only thing that's required by the NBA is you have to have at least two athletic trainers on staff. You don't have to have a physical therapist. You don't have to have a dietitian. That's not a requirement. Strength and conditioning, performance, sports psychologist, acupuncturist, chiropractor, all that stuff completely varies from team to team. It's up to the team what they want to utilize, who they want to hire. Second, also the type of equipment, supplies, modalities, treatments, cryo chambers, whirlpools, bot pots, hyperbaric chambers, all that stuff is dependent on the team if they want to invest into their players and be able to put some of the money into that. So that there's no like minimum standard every team has to have this. It's completely dependent on the team, the owners, the management, if they want to purchase all this stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. Now I would like to add to that, Marco. So But all things being equal, so say we all have the same equipment and stuff to evaluate players' injuries, what about the skill level of the staff in and of itself? Does that factor in a play when it comes to getting guys on the mend versus making them come back sooner than, you know, normal? Like Jeff was saying beforehand, it was weird when you saw some people go to one place and they have chronic injuries, and then they go to another place and all of a sudden is miraculously healed. So maybe their body gotten better over the treatment that they were getting, and then the other team reaped the benefits of that, or it was just they didn't know what the hell they were doing. Somebody else kind of like,
yeah, Marco, before you answer that, in Lakers defense, nobody can help AD. So go ahead now.
That is nobody's fault, but
right.
Two teams can't get right.
So even in themselves, let's say you do have a head athletic trainer and you have a head physical therapist on the part. Even the certifications, the experience that those physical therapists, those head athletic trainers have varies from team to team. Not all athletic trainers, not all physical therapists kind of are created equal or the same, so to speak. It just depends on how many certifications, how much experience, how many licenses they kind of have under their belt type of thing. Then you also have some players are, you know, happen to be injury prone, and no matter what you do, they just kind of happen to find their way to the treatment table in the training room every single year. It's one of those things type of thing that happens. But what?
Every day.
Sorry, Marco. Go ahead.
Yeah.
When we were talking about bringing AD back for the playoffs, my first thought was so he can get hurt.
That would happen last year, though.
Yeah, it's just like the first thing that I thought of. So it's unfortunate. Yeah. It really is. Marco, thank you so much for joining us. As always, you always have the best information for us. Can you please let everybody know how they can keep up with what you've got going on?
Yeah, if you guys are interested, please follow me on Instagram at Marco A. Nunez 17. I put up weekly sports betting tips, or subscribe to my YouTube channel at Evolve Athletic Performance.
Thank you so much, Marco. We appreciate it.
Take care.
Appreciate you, man. See you next week.
All right. Perfect. So I think you're right. AD's out for the season. Okay. Now, for the regular season. But he's not going to step up and all of a sudden come back and be, first of all, he hasn't been AD, bubble AD this whole year. So he's going to come back from injury now
and become bubble AD.
No, and become bubble AD in time for the playoffs. It's not going to happen, right?
Not going
to
happen.
So we need to just say that ship has sailed, which also means our playoff hopes have sailed. But I think we've all accepted that.
I think we should have tried to accept that at Christmas. I mean, that to me, that was the barometer. Like, get to Christmas, reevaluate at Christmas. And we've done that before.
Remember, like, we kept pushing the bar.
I kind of swore we did that in, I think, 2002 with Shaq and Kobe, the third championship. I think we were like something around like 19-11, something like this. Just for, a champion and going for a three-peat, you would think they would come out the gates a lot more, you know, a lot fresher than what they did. And they got to Christmas, and it looked like they flipped the switch.
Yep.
And they turned it on. We're now past Christmas. We're now in February going into March, and it's the same mediocrity that they've been putting out week in and week out. So we have enough of a sample size to make an educated guess to be like, yo, this is what we are. This is who we are.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's so not changing. It's not going to change anytime soon.
Here's the scary part, Money Mike. It's not changing next season either, because these are our superstars. Now, there are rumors. People are finally starting to hop on board a little bit, and they're talking about maybe it's time to trade AD. Now, if they were to trade AD, there are rumors out there, the stories, that there's only really one location that AD would probably go to or accept a trade to, and that would actually maybe make a deal. And you might like this, my man, because that location would be the Chicago Bulls.
That has to be Chicago.
The Chicago Bulls would be the only location that they believe that would play ball with the Lakers on a trade for Anthony Davis. And we could get some good players back, including our own players. We can get Lonzo and Alex Caruso back and clear up some of the mistakes we've made. I don't know.
I have a question.
Please.
Is LeBron still going to be on the team?
Yeah, LeBron's still on the team. Yeah, LeBron's not going anywhere unless LeBron wants to go anywhere. So LeBron's not going anywhere, my friend. And the question is LeBron – they're talking about that LeBron has a stranglehold on the Lakers organization. But then on the other story, they're talking about this is the first time LeBron hasn't been able to get a stranglehold on an organization and he doesn't know how to control.
Look, can
I don't believe
look
anyone has a stranglehold. Genie Buss is still in control. But seriously, what exactly would we do overnight that's going to trade either of these guys that's going to net a world of difference and get us in the playoffs right away? Oh. Nothing.
Look. Can I just go on my rant, man? Look,
yes.
And I promise after this show, I won't say anything else about LeBron.
You can do
the lie determined determined that was a lie.
So yeah. well, because you know, I've been really, really, really thinking about this, man. And Pat, I just need you to help me out. Like,
I got you.
You know, like if me and my wife go out to dinner, man, you know, and we find a really nice restaurant, right?
Famous Mike's. We need entering music for his analogies.
They're not advertising for us or whatever, but like if we want to go and have a real nice dinner, we go to Maestro's, right? And Maestro's is great. Maestro's, whatever. It's great. You go there, they make you feel like royalty. You know, you go to the restroom, when they come back, your towel's folded. They're very, you know, they fill your water. They just treat you like, you know, like royalty the time that you're there. Very expensive. You probably spend $250, be great, right? But you love the experience that you go there, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could go to Boa, right, where the food is exactly the same, but it's way more casual. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they're not going to give you that type of attention that you would get like at Maestro's, right?
Yeah.
Well, I could say the Lakers like Maestro's, where, you know, Maestro's, they were a type of organization that was just a standard above everybody.
Yes.
Yeah. They operated a certain way. They had a certain standard that they lived by.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? And now I feel like Lakers are no longer Maestro's. They're Boa. Right, where everybody could come, you could be casual. You get your meal. You know,
it's a good meal,
but it's a great meal. But it's just way more casual. People are hanging out. It's loud. It's not intimate. You know what I mean? And I feel like, am I wrong for saying that? I feel like LeBron kind of watered down the Lakers in their actual status, like around the league and how people look at them.
You know, that's an interesting point. Now, because I thought the 3 years before LeBron did come here, we were already looking like a as I would call them, a mom and pop organization. And the reason why I say mom and pop organization, because at the time when Jerry Buss bought the Lakers, TV deals, franchise values were not as they are right now. They were not through the roof. And it were more families, you know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, owning the
less
the
corporate, team,
less corporations. Now we're in the waters with the sharks now, and everyone have billionaire checkbooks. We don't have billionaire checkbooks, so people know they kind of come to Lakers. They're gonna have to. You have to sell them on the mystique. You have to sell them on the nostalgia. You have to say, where were you when Shaq and Kobe? And then where were you? Don't you want to be a part of the legacy of the Lakers? It's something that they have extra on other teams. However, as what we currently ran, it feels more like you said. If it's, I think you were giving away too much credit to Sam Boa. I mean, honestly, I think it's literally.
We got Sizzler now. Don't say,
dude. That. I'm not gonna say Sizzler, but I am gonna say some kind of chain. Like, I ain't gonna say Applebee's, like, but I'm at least gonna be like, I'm not gonna go there. But you know, Ruth's Chris, maybe, like, you know, Ruth's something Chris, like, you know, like there, like Fleming's, maybe.
Okay, okay,
like,
I gotcha.
You know, I mean, Steakhouse, you still got some little bangs in your butt, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, but at the same time,
all the side orders are a la carte.
You know,
it's one of those.
They try.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a red booth.
They're giving you the appearance of a high end establishment. However.
Yeah.
You know, when we're looking at the evidence of the Lakers right now,
pull back the curtain.
Yeah. We're not well ran, and it is definitely mom and pop, especially if you're always going and talking to your cronies to be able to get advice on personal decisions.
Now, I disagree that LeBron watered down. I'm more with Stat Pat that started as soon as the great Jerry Buss passed away and Jimmy Buss took over. And that didn't take long to lose the respect for this team when Jimmy Buss took over. It's like working. I'll give you an analogy. It's like working out. You can work out for a whole year and put on this muscle growth and you're happy and you're stuck. Then you get sick and you don't work out for a month and it's all gone. So a year to build it, it only takes a month to lose it. Well, it took all those years for Jerry to build it, and it only took very few years for Jimmy to destroy it. And the reason why is because there is no more Jerry to go back to.
Yeah, okay.
There is no more. So it started at that point. LeBron was supposed to be the hope to reverse that. It didn't work out that way. It did for one season. I don't know that it would have if there wasn't the bubble season. I don't know what would have happened. You don't know. It doesn't matter. But LeBron was supposed to reverse that pattern, but unfortunately, it's...
You know what, though? I think that what you guys are saying is true. They're very valid points. But I think in the back of everybody's mind, because, you know, with Jim Buss running and things were kind of going on, they kind of still knew what the standard was for the Lakers. Right. Like they, you know, and I feel when they got LeBron, you know, the first two years were cool. They kind of had like the standard in the back of their mind. But now it's kind of like a shit show right now. I mean, to be honest with
you. It's not pretty. You know what?
No, and because here's my thing. Like, you know, we're not making calculated decisions right now. You know what I mean? Like we're
reacting.
Yeah, where, right.
And that's what other teams always did was react to the Lakers. But now we're reacting, and right. I don't like it. We're not setting the bar.
And we are like, I don't – this is what I – look, what kills me about – first of all, his play on the court is good. It's not great. And he doesn't play smart basketball. Like going back to the Clipper game. Like, we're down by one. Why are you shooting a 30-footer, dog? You know what I mean? Like, we're down by one. Like, so
that all the time.
I know he has the basketball IQ. He's just not using it, right? So I'm looking on the court, and I don't understand what's going on the court because it's just we got, 8 seconds left in the game, and we're shooting a 30-footer. Like, what are we doing? So he played great. Yeah. You know what I mean? He played, got 35 points. He's averaging. His numbers are great, but yeah. – The in the game situations, I can't.
And those are game changing situations, by the way. Those are momentum killers, because a lot of times they're 6 point swings instead of gaining that three, you lose a three, and it's a 6 point. Because whenever he takes that shot, the other team goes down and scores because you're not in defensive position.
Yeah, and then you look on the back end, like this dude literally is giving props to other GMs and other owners.
It's really gnarly. It's not a good look, LeBron.
You know, now they got this big old beef between Clutch Sports and the Lakers. And now, you know, he's trying to act like it's not him, you know, doing this. Like, what do you mean? Like, we would not have gotten Westbrook if you didn't ask for Westbrook. Mm-hmm. You know, you asked for these certain moves to happen. And then you praising Pelinka for making these moves.
And then you're mad that he didn't trade him for Wall.
Then you're mad
that he didn't get rid of him.
Like, literally, like, so, you know, he's like, look, man, if we get him, we ain't going to be able to make no moves. Either because we're literally taking our whole roster and getting it to a point where nobody wants.
Now, you know what, Money?
Yeah,
there's another team in LA that's making some moves, you guys. And if you've been paying any attention, there's another professional basketball team in Los Angeles that is not the Clippers. Excuse me. That is the Sparks. The Sparks have made moves. They signed a huge free agent in Liz Cambage. And our boy Fredo Cervantes was there at the press conference. So let's go ahead and throw it to Fredo and see what that was like. Fredo, you got it.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. It's myself, Fredo Cervantes, guys, here with Infinity TV live at the Crypto Arena here in Los Angeles for the live press conference for the LA Sparks, Liz Cambage. She is now a Los Angeles Sparks guy. So there is a lot of great excitement here in Los Angeles after the Rams won the championship. Now, it seems like the LA Sparks might be bringing one of their own as well. We're gonna go ahead and get into this live press conference right now.
Thank you to my teammates, my new coach, my new staff here. here at Crypto, and thank you to the fans and the media for coming out today. It's been a dream of mine to live in LA, to play in LA and wear the purple and the yellow, or the purple and the gold. Sorry, I'm emotional. I said I wanted to be in LA, and I know it's taken 11 years, and I'm finally here, and I'm so grateful, but it's been a journey, and I'm so excited that I'm finally here. There's so much talent. You know, Coach Fish, he really put in the work on getting me here this season and bringing in more talent as well. I think this is going to be a super exciting season. The energy here in LA at the moment, you know, sport is up here, and it's an honor that I get to be a part of it now as well. Thank you.
And yes, guys, we're back here. Myself, Fredo Cervantes, here with Infinity TV. We just got a chance to see what Liz Cambage is all about now that she's here in Los Angeles, guys. Not Los Angeles, but Liz Angeles here, guys. And she did mention a few things here, as you guys all got a chance to witness. You know, when I did get a chance to ask her whether how much pressure is she going to have her and the LA Sparks all put together to bring a championship to Los Angeles. And she said, hey, it's not about the pressure, but it's all about the repetitions, how she can get along with her teammates. Of course, this season for the LA Sparks is going to be one for the books, as Derek Fisher got maybe a little more pressure than Liz Cambage does. But we're going to go ahead and get a chance to look at all that this season here for the LA Sparks, guys. This is Fredo Cervantes with Infinity TV. Back to you, Jeff.
Handled. Wow.
Can I comment on that?
Yes, of course.
So look, first of all, let me just say congratulations to the Sparks.
Absolutely.
Liz Cambage, you know, I've been watching her for many reasons. She's a great basketball player.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just say
very good basketball player.
But look, you know what? You know, because this is the LeBron show. I think the main reason why Liz came here to yes. L.A.,
oh,
it's
no.
the same reason why LeBron came to L.A., for opportunity in the media versus in out here to play basketball. Like, you know, sorry, I'm not trying to throw no shade on her, but look, literally, I think she could average 30 points a game. She's like 6'8". You know, she laughs when people are trying to guard her. But we also know that, you know, she's very beautiful, and they don't have the Sparks don't have, you know, the top players don't get paid millions of dollars.
No, see, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
So I don't blame her at all.
No, okay. But what I'm just saying, though, what
it is what it is.
Why are you, my only question is, are you coming here to play basketball to try to give the Sparks a championship? Or are you coming here because you saw Chingy, you know, come over here, get hurt? And no shade against nobody. I'm just saying, Chingy was here, she got hurt. You know, she was like rookie of year, baller, whatever. And she, as soon as she got hurt, she went on ESPN.
Yep.
And she owned
ready
ESPN.
To go. Plug and play.
And she, you know, so you, we think Liz Cambage ain't trying to get on ESPN.
I mean, you know what it is.
You know, wait a minute. Wait, Candace Parker, who did she used to play for? Where's she at? TNT. I mean, come on, man. Like,
I mean, but that's
smart.
But see, at the same time, like,
I know. How about you're no saying, shade, though?
No, it's no shade. At the same time. And like you said, we need to make sure that we're setting ourselves up for the future. But at the same time, this is what the Los Angeles franchises, I was put them both together.
Yes.
Gives you, you know, it's
location.
A part of the package.
Absolutely.
You can't think a person that's going to be that kind of gravitational figure, the way Liz is, to come to a situation where we're thirsting for somebody to take us to that next level, get us to that next level, and not reap all the benefits that are going to come with it. The weird Ford, you know, the Southern California Ford dealership
commercials. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we're doing all the local stuff. You know what I'm saying? We're doing all that stuff. She got to get that. And, of course, she's pretty enough that if she does well on this, then she's definitely going to be on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And she's, you know, and that's what we give them. I can't be
mad
at her.
But, Pat, you're the best man for this question. When Phil Jackson came here and saw Shaq, what did he tell Shaq to do?
Lose some weight
and what do you tell them to do in all season?
Stop making Kazam, you gotta focus.
Stop making Shaq food.
But she haven't even done it yet.
I'm just saying she'd already won before.
But you know what?
No, she's won before.
It's apples and oranges, guys, because Shaq was already financially sound for the rest of his life. in the WNBA, it just isn't that way. And if the WNBA wants to change that, then that's up to them. But until they do, these players have to think about their futures, because the WNBA certainly isn't.
Look, I, again, I'm not mad at any
of that. I'm just happy that we have that extra draw.
Nope, absolutely. I think it's completely dope. When I saw Liz Cambridge,
it's going to be on. Gonna
you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go to a game. I'm going to definitely go to.
Yeah, it's going to be
on. Well, I think I went to one game. I may probably go one or two. Games, because I love her game. Her game is amazing. But I think that, you know, listen, this is what I feel about Liz Cambridge. And I said, if Shaq would have had Kobe's work ethic, he would have 4 or 5 MVPs.
I mean, if we're ever going to say that, then
if everybody had Kobe's work ethic.
If Shaq has Kobe's work ethic, Shaq is the greatest player of all time.
All time, right? So that's all I'm saying. So I just want her to come and be one of the best, greatest sports of all time. And that's a high list, though, because we got Lisa.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean?
We got Lisa and Candace. So yeah, that's the topic of already the two faces on our Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, so here's my question. Like, is she going to be at that level?
She better bring it.
She has potential to be Lisa.
Well, she does. I mean, just like the Lakers, you know, the Sparks also have that kind of legacy of big women, you know, the kind of like, you like you said.
Following the line.
Yeah. You talking about the best big woman who ever graced the sport of the NBA. WNBA. I'm not going to say women's basketball because we know that's Cheryl Miller. But Lisa Leslie, when we talk about the WNBA, she is considered the GOAT, you know, especially when she comes to a woman that is skilled.
No question.
You know, she can fit into that mold, like you said. And I think she's going to do that. I mean, and she's going to nice 1-2 punch, man.
All I'm saying is, to that point is, you know, Candace was a spark, she's fine. You know, Lisa was a spark, she's fine.
And expect the same.
Now, let me ask you this, you guys. Liz kind of compared herself to a Shaq, and I don't know that you all agree with that, but she kind of compared herself to a Shaq.
She's 6'8", dude.
Derek played with a Shaq. He knows how to play ball with that big and play inside out. Do you think that Derek will get a little better on his coach?
Derek should, because listen, he got Tia Cooper, you know? Mm-hmm. So Tia is Derek and Liz is Shaq.
So he should be able to coach that through. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, just play how they play.
And then you got Ogumake.
Yeah, you still got Ogumake over there.
Yeah, you still got that.
And Ogumake is at the point where, you know, in her career,
she
basically could be the Lamar Odom. You know what I mean?
Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
That they need.
Right.
To be able to do all the stuff. Like you said, you got the nice two woman game. And then you have Nika come in there to be able to do all the other stuff. And she's definitely a great Swiss Army knife. So.
Yeah,
it's gonna be interesting, man. As far as you're gonna be in, you guys haven't watched any women's basketball.
Now it's time. Yeah,
it might be the time y'all start watching because
we're gonna keep you up to date too, because we're gonna constantly be checking in with Fredo. So
this is what I will say about the WNBA: if you want to see fundamental basketball, you know, obviously the athleticism is not there, and people don't watch it because of not a lot of slam dunks, things like that. But if you want to see fundamental basketball being played, that's the WNBA, hands down.
Yep. Yeah.
If you're teaching, you want to run video for the WNBA. Right. Yeah, you want to run it. Otherwise, you end up with a bunch of Steph Currys trying to shoot half-court three-pointers. That's what it is.
Which don't work.
It just doesn't work, guys. Yeah. Okay, so the Sparks are in good hands. Of course, we talked a little bit about the Lakers. We're going to go back to that. But let's go ahead and talk about the rest of the league and things. As we saw, we talked about Durant. Durant's still out, but he's on his way back, is that right, Mike?
Yeah, Durant's on his way back. And it's going to be really interesting, man, because I've been watching Philly, and, you know, they got Harden at a plus 10 right now. You know, and Embiid is loving. Mm-hmm. Like, Harden is putting that ball places where people with not Embiid talent could be successful.
Yeah, he's setting people up even, yeah. You know, so with Embiid, he can it further. Sure.
So you know what I mean? Like, he's just making it super duper easy.
I saw a great stat that it said Ben Simmons' entire time with the 76ers, like 5 3-pointers, made one. first game. Five three-pointers, made five for Harden. He already ahead of, well, that's a given. But yeah, it's just kind of funny.
Yeah, and that's what I was last week where we were talking on the show about who won the trade, and we kind of like had our opinions. And I stated, you know, I really love that two-man game. Getting it back to just having two men take the brunt of all the burden of everything, and then you have your guys that can come in and pitch in. You have a lot of this new trying to get a big three and a big four and all that stuff. Let's get back to creating teams.
Some basics.
You know, let's fill in these blanks and let's, you know, and hit them with the 1-2 punch. And I think that's going to be if Harden can just be that guy. I mean, and the thing is, when you have a person that's receptive, you know, and wants you there, then, you know, chemistry issues and all that stuff and getting acclimated and coming over, you know, to the side, it's going to be shortened. Versus there's already apprehension Nets
no
when
question.
He was coming in. Yeah, then they can see the talent. They would be a fool not to see the talent will be able to mesh. But personality-wise, how is that going to work
out?
Though. You know what I'm saying? And so now Ben Simmons coming into a situation where he knows he can't ruffle feathers. You already have been a problem child. Your mission, if you choose to accept it now, is to change perception. You have to come in there and go get on. You can't be ran out of another franchise because
if he's run out of the fence, over.
Yeah, because your feelings are hurt. Mm-hmm.
But hey, look, in all honesty, man, like even when you look at that breakdown with Harden being over there on the Nets, I feel Harden, like, you know, because Harden was the one that was hurt the least. You know, you got Kyrie that don't
put in the minutes.
You know that's you know he's anti-vax, so now he don't want to play. Yeah. Or he wanted to play on the offseason, or they let him come play like in away games, like halfway through the season. You got KD, you know, who got hurt, and then now you got Harden over there playing every day and getting blamed, accused of everything, and he's the one that's been the most consistent there. You know what I mean? And then, but KD not really rocking with Harden, you know, like and saying don't say nothing to Kyrie. You know, I would feel some kind of way too if I'm out there. Oh, yeah. You know, doing the type of thing. So,
and will that rear its head in playoff time?
Yeah.
That's the type of stuff that affects that team chemistry when you really need it. Because you don't need it when you're winning.
Yeah.
You need it when you're in a struggle. And those are the type of things that affect that right there.
Yeah.
Is you know, just treating one person with certain rules and the others without, especially when your top player is promoting that.
Yeah,
like you said, for Kyrie, it's just it doesn't look great. So it's two players. It's Kyrie and Durant, and then them.
Yeah, so
and that's what it's like. Yeah. When you go into war with each other, it's them and us.
And you know, if you are Harden and you're looking at the situation, you know, the situation that you're thinking, I'm on par with these cats. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a former MVP myself. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like it's not like I'm chopped liver here. You know, I'm still balling at a high level. You know, and trying my best to keep this team afloat, but I'm getting blamed for it. I need to go somewhere I'm appreciated. You know, when I think Philadelphia,
I need to go somewhere where Daryl Morey will appreciate me.
Oh well, then that's the point, right? And just kind of like, you know, when they had the only thing I was saying, like, they should have kept Jimmy Butler. And I know we all talk about the egos and all the other stuff meshing together too as well, but.
What a team if they had that.
I mean, it's just the fact that we're talking about a player that embodies the personality of the city of Philadelphia, and that's Jimmy Butler. Embiid is that reason why they love him, because he's such a rugged destroyer, a baller. But not in a more of a skilled way, but more of a like in your face, menacing, like I'm gritty. I'm ready to get dirty for you. You know what I'm saying? That kind of way. They respect that in Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, you know, but you have to understand, like, Jimmy, you know, and everybody thought Jimmy was a problem, you know.
Until he went to Miami.
Well, yeah.
Because he went team to team to team.
What happened was with Jimmy Butler, he required a certain level of play from other players.
Yep.
And the players didn't want to conform to that, and everybody thought he was crazy. But when he went over to Miami, you know,
he shut them all up.
Because why? Because Pat Riley, this is how Pat Riley does. Right. Like Riley does a certain way. So he runs it. So the culture was always, it was already there. And it wasn't something that Jimmy had to build. Mm-hmm. He just had to be, he was like, oh, you mean to tell me y'all running shit like this? Oh, well, shoot, I'm at home. Because yeah. now he don't have to be that guy that's going to require certain things because it's already
he doesn't have to be the bad guy.
Right. It's already
the culture is already, like you said, the culture is already there. And yeah. it's like, and if anybody gonna be mad at him, you're like a run at the Pat.
Yeah.
Like because, when I say go to Pat.
Hey, because he,
he's so cool.
I still remember the Lakers that swept everybody and then he had them doing 2-a-days. You know,
I still can't stand Pat Riley.
Man, yeah, he had to do it 2-a-days. He said, "You know what, y'all resting too much. Y'all got to do 2-a-days." You know,
and Byron Scott took his lessons right from Riley and completely fried his players in training camp.
Because completely forgetting that he missed the whole finals for a hamstring that his coach his mentor. Basically put him through, you know, situations like that. Yeah, but anyway, I think, like you said, Mike, going back to what you were talking about, the matchups in the East, the top 1-4 is going to be interesting. I mean, I really believe can't still sleep on Milwaukee, especially when the games go slow, and he's still going to be busting you up for 35, 17 rebounds, 3 blocks. These are numbers that are going to stay consistent. And if Middleton picks up his little slack, they're still going to be a hard team to beat.
Yeah, well, I definitely think the championship is going to the East. I mean, because there's nobody over here in the West that I don't think Phoenix is going to make it again. I don't even know who's going to even come out the
Well, Phoenix is Phoenix and Golden State are the two favorites.
Yeah.
I just saw Golden State lose to Dallas, and I just saw, Phoenix is dealing with the Chris Paul
CP3 injury.
So,
but CP3 will be back probably by the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? He doesn't need.
Plus, Payne is good.
And plus, he's staying in shape because it's a thumb. It's not. He can run. He can do all that stuff, so he can keep his wind up. And I mean, the guy's a master at what he does. He doesn't need to get loose or lose rust. He can handle the ball better. He could lose skills, be as rusty as could be, and still be better than anyone else on the court. Yeah. So that's not a problem. Who else scares you out there, you guys? Who else scares you? We talked about the Suns and the Warriors in the West. Is that it? Is that the only parties in the West?
What player that everybody's overlooking is Ja.
No, they're not.
Overlooking. No, they're not anymore.
They're not overlooking him.
Well, we didn't mention his team. Like,
he gave another scenario. He asked what other teams that you feel that, and I was going to say the Grizzlies.
Yeah,
because of that.
Yeah,
and. One thing I like about Ja, and you probably were going to say this. I don't want to take your point, Mike, but when you see Ja reminds you, like, this guy could have played in any era. Like, this dude, because he has something that a lot of these cats don't have. Like, he don't give a damn.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He plays with his heart on his sleeve. He plays hard, and he's not scared. That's the number one point. He's not scared of the moment. He really wants to be that guy for Memphis. See, a lot of, Lillard is always talking about, like, I'm not going to run for
Jimmy run.